talked about giving blood today, I was reflecting on the three things that I do as a citizen that make me feel connected to my community. One is voting, one is serving on a jury, and the third is giving blood. And the reason giving blood is very important to me is that I hate to give blood. In fact, I once fainted on the table as the person was poking me looking for a vein because my veins don't pop up correctly. I'm squeamish about blood. I sweat profusely. They make me stay an extra half an hour and drink all the juices and eat all the sugars because I look like a ghost. And it's precisely because it's so painful and so awkward for me that I feel especially committed to doing it, because I'm a universal donor and my blood happens to be a rare type, meaning a very small number of people in our population have my blood, and therefore it matters more to people who perhaps, but for getting my blood, may not survive an operation or whatever. So this is how we feel connected to our community. And to say that a whole group of citizens are disqualified from participating in this ritual because of perhaps outdated science or prejudice or bias is unacceptable. So I really appreciate you bringing this forward, and I wholeheartedly support your view that we should let facts and science, not discrimination, drive this decision-making. Thank you. Bye.
Hales.
What a great piece of work. And what a great discussion here. So thank you all for both bringing this forward, being able to respond to a citizen or an employee who says, hey, what about, in such a thoughtful way, and then to have this eloquent and wise testimony that we've had here today. This is really an excellent piece of work. As it happens, both of my siblings are scientists who spent their career working for the federal government. I think they would be proud of us for making science the reason to do things. Like Dan, and like I think a lot of us, I was shocked that this artifact still existed. And I bet Steve's right. I bet the president has no idea that this artifact of a different time when prejudice instead of science guided a decision is still lurking around out there. So I hope that our effort in other cities to raise this issue and to remember what Edmund Burke said, all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. So we're not doing nothing. We're doing something important, and I'm really proud of Portland. Aye. Let's move to some less lofty stuff, but nevertheless stuff we need to do today. That's definitely a high point. Thank you, Amanda. The regular agenda, item 868.
Authorize a memorandum of understanding with the U.S. Coast Guard and the Portland Police Bureau to transfer and destroy narcotics.
This is a second reading, but just again, as an FYI, this is us destroying drugs because we can when they give them to us for disposal. That's all it is. Roll call on second reading.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. 869.
Amend Portland fire regulations to extend the protection afforded by automatic fire sprinklers to occupants of existing buildings used as nightclubs that are not protected with an automatic fire sprinkler system.
Great. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, we had an excellent hearing last week, and I believe we're ready to take a vote and move forward on this important policy to require nightclubs to have sprinklers. One item that did come up last week, and I wanted to address, was the fire marshal's notification letters sent out to the building owners of nightclubs without sprinkler systems. As was clear to the council, the fire marshal believes building owners are ultimately responsible for keeping their buildings safe and up to code, regardless of who their tenant is. And it was clear from the comments of all of you that we believe this too. But of course, the real world can be messy, and we can easily envision a conflict between the property owner and the tenant on who is responsible for installing a sprinkler system. So in response to this, the fire marshal's office will be updating their administrative rules regarding citations to make clear that the property owner will be the party cited for a violation if a nightclub is operating without a sprinkler system. But we want to make sure that all interested parties are in the loop, and therefore we want to keep the requirement that both the tenant and the owner be notified of this new rule and notified of any citations that are issued. And as I said last week, the fire marshal will work with any party that wants to come into compliance with this new fire code. So I don't believe any amendments or changes are necessary to the ordinance, and I believe we're ready to vote on this.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for clarifying that the administrative rules can address that issue. So any further council discussion? Roll call then, please.
Well, I want to thank, first of all, this is a very important step forward in life safety, and I want to thank our fire chief, Aaron Jansons, our fire marshal, Nate Takara, and my staff, my fire staff person, Matt Grum, for helping to craft this important policy and get it through all the hurdles necessary for us to be able to vote on this today. As I said, I believe this is going to save lives, but I think it's important to remember, particularly poignant that we're voting on September 11th on this new requirement to put sprinklers in nightclubs, because this will not only save the lives of people who work in nightclubs, people who perform in nightclubs, people who patronize nightclubs, but ultimately, and as I've learned of my 3 months tenure as fire commissioner, and as we know on September 11th, how many firefighters gave their lives for this country, that this will save the lives of firefighters too, because their instincts are always to respond to the tragedy and to go right in and try to save lives. So by doing this today, we're saving, I guarantee we're going to be saving lives in the future, and this is going to make Portland a safer environment for all of us. So I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Novick?
I want to thank Marshal Takara and Chief Jansons and Matt Grum and Commissioner Saltzman for bringing this forward. I think this is critically important. It will save lives. I also want to take a moment to reflect on the general concept of grandfather clauses. There's a tendency among politicians and regulators when you're adopting a new safety requirement to say, well, people who've been doing business the same old way for a long time, we don't want to impose on them too much, so we'll let them go. And it's a generous impulse, but it's also a dangerous impulse, because the fact that you've been doing something dangerous for a long time doesn't make it less dangerous. And we see this in a variety of issues in our society. When the Clean Air Act was first adopted and they imposed stringent requirements for pollution on coal plants, they said, we're going to grandfather in the old coal plants. They don't have to meet those pollution standards. And the assumption was that those coal plants would be obsolete and replaced within 10 years. Well, actually, a lot of those coal plants are still operating, and EPA and the Justice Department get into arguments with the coal plants as to whether they've been modified so much they're really new, so they're subject to the new requirements, or that they continue to operate spewing out pollution. And it's the existence of a grandfather clause that has created that situation. In this city, we have hundreds of unreinforced masonry buildings that do not meet current seismic standards. And it would be very expensive for the owners of those buildings to strengthen them to survive an earthquake. But so we've grandfathered them in. But that exception could cost ultimately a lot of lives. And that's an issue I think that we need to take up. And I think that whenever we adopt a new safety standard and we have the impulse to say we're going to grandfather in people who have been doing things the old way, we need to stop and think about the fact that our generous impulse is conflicting with the need for safety. So I thank Commissioner Saltzman very much for stepping up to the plate on this issue, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Novick. That's a really important point, and thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, not only for bringing this forward, but for looking into the concerns that were raised last week and giving us a response. Chief Jansons, I appreciate your work on this as well, and briefing me and answering all my questions both beforehand and at the hearing last week. This is an important step forward, and I believe we might want to expand it in the future, but I definitely agree that we cannot have some of the tragic fires like the ones that were shown last week. Thank you. Aye.
Fish?
I, too, want to thank the chief and her team and Commissioner Saltzman and his team for bringing this forward. This is a hallmark of Dan's leadership. He heard about a problem, a loophole, which he referred to as a loophole last week. He directed his bureau to fix the problem. He expeditiously brought a common sense solution to council, got support, and there's been little, if no, opposition to this once all the facts got out in the public domain. And clearly, we're doing something today which advances the public health and safety. So congratulations, Dan, and I'm proud to support you today. Aye.
Hales.
Agreed. Excellent work, Dan, and bureau, and community. Thank you all. another reason to be proud of Portland, another great piece of work. So how do you celebrate again and again that a bad thing didn't happen? How will we remember this ordinance? Well, maybe this way. The flags outside are at half mast today because there's a tragedy, and we are both honored and required to remember tragedy. But there'll be lots of days when the flags fly contentedly at the top of their mast with nothing to commemorate because a bad thing was avoided by this good work. Aye. Nice work. One more item.
Item 870, assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance.
Come on up.
Hi there. Good morning. This ordinance is for sidewalk
repair. Put your name back in the record, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sharon Simran from the auditor's office. I thought you knew me.
The auditor will punish you if you don't do that.
I'm Michael Zeller from the Sidewalks Department Maintenance Operations.
Thanks, Michael. Yes.
This ordinance is for sidewalk repair for property, homeowners' property that the city has performed. And any remonstrances that we had on this assessment have been pulled, sent back to the sidewalks for determination.
Okay. So you did receive some remonstrances?
Yes, we did. We received six, four from the same company and two from individual homeowners.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
And they're pulled from assessment.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Questions for staff team, if any? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone who's still here to testify about this?
Obviously,
we've got the remonstrances that are being handled, but
on
this issue. Yes.
Three people. We have Nature Boy, Mark J. Hoppines, and Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am Nature Boy, and I'm homeless. As far as the sidewalk repair thing, I'm starting an autonomous program. It's a non-monetary program for the homeless to empower them to be able to do something for the community and give back to the community. And I'm trying to, start something like a revolution for the homeless so that the perception of homelessness and people who don't have homes are perceived, as more than just people who are homeless, people who are capable of giving back. And so the program is called the Homeless Art Project. I started the program about 5 days ago. And every single day, all day, I'm on call, and you'll always see me with trash bags around my belt loop, walking around picking micro trash, cigarette butts, all the way, to recyclables, and divvying those up. And so, as a homeless person, our resources are kind of limited. Also, through my experience of just starting this program, you could probably hear in my voice, I'm kind of dealing with something, a little bit of a cold. Something that we could use, because I am going to be acquiring other volunteers. This is a volunteer thing. This is a non-monetary program, So we are reliant upon sponsors and people to help us out. But we don't need a lot. All we need is the tools to pick up the trash, which is trash bags, gloves, and masks, because as you pick up trash, you bend over, you're constantly inhaling the stuff. So if we can get those masks, donations for somebody. We've had this morning, Captain, I think it's Adgers. He donated three rolls of trash bags and two things of gloves for us for sanitation. But we don't have any masks, and we want to make sure everybody who's going to be a part of this movement is safe. and they're not breathing in that toxic air. So anyways, I'm easy to find. I've been living across the street. I am an autonomous individual, but I have been with Occupy Movement. I'm from Texas, Fort Worth, Texas. I've been here for 3 months. And, but anyways.
Thank you. Well, thanks for what you're doing.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good morning.
Benjamin. Speaking of the Benjamin H. Pickering. Most sidewalk ends where it begins, but you know, the sidewalks all over the world. Big street. What needs to be fixed? I see certain back roads and streets, and still today counts or in count for. I don't know. Little gestures would be pretty cool to put up. I mean, they got street signs and everything. I guess people could have some sense of humor in that, some common sense of we're all humans, and there's an easy way to walk over to the garbage can. Be up trash and out there, and what you're saying about the people, sidewalks, the people on the street.
You finish telling us what you want about this, and then you guys might want to talk more about it.
You do enjoy the sidewalks that they put in this world. I mean, I've been kind of playing across the world and enjoyed several streets, but it'd take a long time to talk to everybody that's walked the streets and the sidewalks, but I mean, where to start to begin? The sidewalks need to be fixed. I've sprained my ankle on a few different places. I used to walk on dirt roads, but the sidewalks, there's people out there. These guys, they're good at everything. You know, the sidewalks, they're sitting out there and they need to have a place. They're staying on the sidewalks. They're enjoying it too, but they, give these people something to do. You guys need help with the sidewalks and stuff. These guys are all out there. Give them something to do. Where do we start? Is it like bicker back and forth? Or is everybody just equal in this world? Who's perfect or who's not? But there's a lot of people all over. They enjoy the sidewalks, whether it's trying to get a cozy sleep or walk down the street. Is it the ones that complain when people are walking down the street that someone's doing something wrong, or is it somebody that's enjoying the day walking out to get where they're going? There's a lot to be fixed on. We could start with, everybody we walk up by, or, just carry it on to everybody and greet everybody. The sidewalks that are we live today, we walk by. Every day, getting here, we pulled over, walked here on the sidewalk. I noticed a few things, out of ordinary, a few different things. But I gotta give grats for everybody that put the sidewalks in around the world, escaped the world of sidewalks where it begins. But he had a good point about the people. It's all about what are we fixing on? Wait until it's too late, or give it something we can run with. These people that are out here, and they love to help. They got a heart of gold. They don't mind to enjoy being part of it. Give them something to be part of.
Thank you. Thanks.
I apologize. I need a moment. Okay. The computer crashed on me.
Okay.
Hopefully you saved it.
Well, maybe you can summarize what you were going to say, if you can.
It's better I read it off, because if I have to come back to the issue, we can come back to the issue if that's possible.
This one's on the calendar today, and that's it.
So. Temporarily for the night or for the day. Same thing. Right when I'm getting ready to present.
I'm sorry, Murphy's Law got you there.
Yeah.
Can I ask who I would probably approach out of panel? As far as like resources, and I have a storage.
Why don't you come to my office and talk to Chad Stover about Clean and Safe?
Stover?
Yeah, Chad.
Okay.
Office of Neighborhood Involvement too, but we'll start with us. So just come up to my office and talk to Chad.
Okay. What floor?
Third floor.
Third floor. Okay.
You bet. Thank you.
One of the good points I can bring up while we're waiting is what do you guys think about possibly even employing some of us down there? you know what I mean, to clean up, because since we're already cleaning up anyways, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, for one, it helps you guys. We're already helping you guys. But on top of that, it helps the situation where you guys can actually hire us to where we can actually make money and actually get up off the streets.
There's some of that
That's
going
a beautiful
on,
idea.
Yeah, we are.
You know what I mean?
Central City Concern has a program that does that.
Okay.
So you might want to contact them.
Central City Concern?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you know the name of the program?
It's the Downtown Clean and Safe Program in Central City. Okay, Central City Concern does hire people, recently homeless folks, and gets them working doing just that. So I actually want to connect both of you with that program.
All right. Yeah. Or Parks and Recreation. I have a paralegal degree, so I'm very well-knowledged. So, you know.
So maybe I suggest you both come up to our office. We'll connect you up with the Central City Concern folks that run that program.
Definitely.
But I think what you're trying to do will fit well with that.
Yeah, yeah. On top of that, a lot of different things.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about your computer, but let's have that conversation outside of council.
Not a problem. You know what I mean? I'm to present these points to you guys every week that I come before you. I will always present the points before all of you, and they will always be mailed to you, emailed to you. I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to overview the U.S. Supreme Court rule, the Ninth Circuit Court ruling that I had presented to you guys as well already.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well, I mean, I can kind of give an overview. It's kind of giving me a pain in my butt, but. Well, by the way, today is my birthday, 11th year
birthday.
Anniversary, you know, 18th birthday, September 11th, you know, so I come before you. Yay. Anyways, well, here's the whole deal is that I can kind of overview on it. I had some very good points on here, but obviously he doesn't want to let me do it. Well, here, one thing is, and I'll address first off, is the anti-camping ordinance. Okay, back in 2000, when Katz was in office, actually the anti-camping was already ruled unconstitutional, yet it was re-implemented. So therefore, you know, it also specifies the exact same things, etc. You know, I've also presented that with all you guys, so you guys are aware. With that being said, that ordinance should not even be on the books still today. If with it being unconstitutional already found by by the county courts here, you know, therefore, you know, I mean, it's a very discriminative anyways for a state's bedding and example given sleeping bags even in it. It's very discriminatory towards the transient class. Okay. And that's with the sidewalk issue. With the sidewalk issue also, you know what I mean? That's where we have. That is our home. That's all we have. You know what I mean? Wherever we are able to lay our head, we are able to lay our head. And the U.S. Supreme Court said also stated that, you know, you can't criminalize homelessness.
So,
you know.
So you're out of time. I appreciate you being here.
I know, but
so why don't you email what you have to us, but then also come up to my office so we can.
Okay, most definitely. I'll present this with Chad as well because, you know, Chad and I talk. But as far as that goes, I appreciate you guys informing me about that opportunity, and I will get on that. And yeah, you guys will enjoy it. Sorry about this.
That's okay. Thank you for coming in here. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have one question for Sharon before we vote.
Come on back up.
Thank you. You mentioned that those properties that you've had remonstrances have been drawn back to your office. Mm-hmm. Is that reflected in the list that I have in the resolution?
None of those will show up on the exhibits. They're all pulled out of this assessment, and we send them back to Sidewalks, and they will make a determination. Whatever they decide, we will include them in the next assessment, either nothing or if they reduce them, whatever they decide.
Of those that you've received are not in my packet, right?
No, they're not. They're back to him.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for that clarification. All right, thank you both. That passes to second reading.
Thank you.
And we are adjourned. We're done for today. Good work.
Yeah, thanks for your support.
Good job. Good work, Amanda.